From Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. For more information or to order equipping resources, call 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And you've been hearing about it all month, living waters, intelligent design in the oceans of the earth. It is absolutely fascinating. It is an exploration of life in the liquid universe that covers more than 70% of our planet. It was filmed in Canada, Bermuda, Polynesia, Mexico, the U.S., and is a remarkable documentary that celebrates the beauty and brilliance of the biological systems that make life in the oceans possible. The cinematography, the animation, they open stunning windows of discovery. You're going to see a spectacular tour of a dolphin's internal sonar system. It's a mechanism that is so powerful and so precise, the animals can locate and capture small fish, catch this, that are buried in the sand. You'll see the magnetic compass that is embedded in the head of a sea turtle. It's a biological wonder that guides these long-distance traveling turtles as they journey across thousands of miles of open sea. When you see what they are able to do through smell and sense, and this matrix of communication embedded in the universe, a sea turtle, you'll be absolutely amazed. You'll see salmon. They smell on this elaborate navigational aid that will lead them where years ago they began their lives. You'll see the power and the majestic grace of humpback whales, some of my favorite scenes in the DVD, a creature whose existence really defies the theory of Darwinian evolution. But each leg of this odyssey is highlighted by cutting-edge research and compelling evidence for purpose and design. It's just an unforgettable film. I'm just so glad to be able to offer it to you. Available for your gift. You can find it on the web at equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And of course, Resource Consultants, as always, they're standing by, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. Let's go to the phone lines. First up is John. He's listening in Massachusetts. Hi.
Hey, Mr. Hanegraaff.
Good to talk to you.
Yes, hi. How are you?
I'm well.
First of all, I would like to thank you for the complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition. It's incredibly helpful.
Oh, wonderful.
And, excuse me, I have two questions. One is, would you be able to direct someone to a version of the Bible that is the closest to the original language? And is that Bible the NASB?
I think the NASB is a very, very good version of the Bible. It's called a formal equivalency as opposed to a dynamic equivalency. So it's closer to a word-for-word translation from the original language to the receptor language, in this case, English. Having said that, however, if you know foreign languages, sometimes word-for-word is much more clumsy than thought-for-thought. And so in certain areas, I really appreciate the word-for-word translation that you find in the NASB. For example, you're memorizing the Book of Proverbs. Their Proverbs are pithy, so word-for-word is particularly advantageous. However, if you're speaking and you're quoting some of the Bible, the NIV is much more conversational. I remember at one point quoting from the Sermon on the Mount, I had done with a message in a particular sanctuary, and afterwards I was greeting people, and a man came up to me and said, "You know what, I really appreciated your message. The one thing I didn't appreciate, however, you didn't use the Bible." I had quoted more than a chapter of the Bible, but he was unaware that I was quoting the Bible because I was doing it in a conversational manner. And I think that's the advantage of the NIV, or versions that are dynamic equivalencies as opposed to being formal equivalencies. But we are faced with an embarrassment of riches. There are so many great translations. Now, all of them are imperfect. We claim inerrancy not for the translations, but for the autographa. In other words, for the originals. And the translations are such that we have a great assurance that they are facsimiles. They are good representations of the originals or the autographa.
Yeah, because I have the NIV.
Well, the NIV is a good version, and the NASB is a good version, but again, we have an embarrassment of riches. The New King James Version is fantastic as well, so a lot of great translations available. If you like the melodic nature of the King James Version, although some words have gone through the process of becoming connotative as opposed to denotative, they've taken on the barnacles of time, that's a little bit of an issue, but the King James Version has withstood the test of time for 400 years. Fantastic. Commissioned in 1604 by King James I, completed in 1611. Terrific. So, again, that is the embarrassment of riches. Many great translations. And we did an article in the Christian Research Journal on Bible versions. You can find it on the web at equip.org. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to James. He's listening in St. Louis, Missouri, on Bot Radio. Hi, James.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
Great. I hope you don't mind me addressing you, Brother Hanegraaff.
That would be just fine.
I didn't know if to say pastor, minister, some people.
Just Hank is fine.
Okay, that works. Thank you. I appreciate your study and knowledge that God has given you to help us, many of us out here, as we walk this Christian journey. And my question today is concerning Scientology. And it comes up, Hank, because I've been involved with some other Christian friends to try to address some issues in our community, one of our communities here in St. Louis, with at-risk children. Different youth groups that have different challenging issues of that nature, and from a Christian perspective, and there is a facility in our area that is Applied Scholastic Center, and it has to do with study technology, and there was supposed to have been no doctrinal conflict. At the meeting that we had, the friends that I just described had, it was questions about being associated with that because of our Christian belief, and if that had anything to do in terms of human service provider, as long as it stayed geared to the study technology part. But the question that I'm calling you about remains is the money that still goes back to Ron L. Hubbard's group, or are they really separated, as many may think? One side is Scientology and the other side is study technology. And I wanted to know if you had any experience on that kind of conversational piece, or
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I know a lot of the groups and names that they go under, and the synergistic relationship between the Church of Scientology and these groups. But I can't tell you a lot about the inner workings. I can only tell you about the deviations from a theological perspective. Yeah, I mean, this is a an organization that behind the glitz and glamour has left a veritable trail of tears, which ironically provides a helpful way of remembering its tenets. I actually use the acronym TEARS so people can understand its deviations and its dangers. In fact, that is, I just did a revised, updated edition of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, and I did that acronym in this particular edition.
I see. Okay, I'll do that. Anyone you can link me to with CRI, so that I can get further insight about that, because that is.
Yeah, again, we can tell you about the theology, but we're not as gifted in the area of dealing with their financial structure or these kinds of things. We're dealing with their theology. Their theology is absolutely antithetical to anything that might be considered Christian.
I see.
Yeah.
I do. I'm with you there. All right. Thank you for that information.
You got it, James. They believe in thetans, not satans, but thetans. In other words, they teach that humans were immortal thetans trapped in a physical universe of their own mental construction, and as such, humans are not sinners in need of a savior, but immortal beings who must overcome enslaving engrams. What are engrams? Well, in the pseudoscience of Scientology, all human failings are traceable to these engrams. So they're subconscious memories of past negative experiences that supposedly lurk in our reactive minds. L. Ron Hubbard, the caller referred to, who was the founder of Scientology, describes these engrams as the cause of unhappiness, sickness, depression, and other psychological and physical maladies. So how do you get rid of that? Well, through auditing. This is an enormously costly process. It's a face-to-face encounter with a church counselor who uses a electropsychometer. It's called an e-meter for short, to discover repressed engrams. And one is believed to achieve clear, or that's the code word, and a future state of spiritual enlightenment. They believe in reincarnation, a continuous cycle of birth and rebirth awaits every one of us, according to Scientology. Only through Scientology can you overcome the vicious cycle, achieve self-actualization, and then the status of being an OT, an operating thetan. And then in terms of supreme being, despite allowing its adherents to believe in the gods of their own choosing, Scientology champions a supreme being that bears a remarkable resemblance to the Brahman of Hinduism. According to Hubbard, an OT has about the same capabilities as those which have been assigned to the supreme being. So this is a muddy mixture of science fiction and nonsense. Unbelievably, however, you got devotees ranging from Hollywood personalities like Tom Cruise to Fox News icon Greta Van Susteren, who are the devotees of L. Ron Hubbard and Scientology. Again, it is a great trail of tears. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to John. He's listening in Washington, D.C., Sirius XM 131. Hi, John.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my phone call.
My pleasure.
Yeah, I just had a statement to start off with, and then maybe you can comment on it. But I believe the Bible reveals specifics about when the end time events would occur, and I think the key is in Daniel 12, verse 4. As you're familiar with it, but as for you, O Daniel, conceal these words, seal up the book until the end of time, many will go back and forth and knowledge will increase. The core of that statement right there is seal up the book, is actually in Daniel 8. Daniel actually sees two visions. He sees the vision of the Tod zone, which is the ram, the goat, and that small horn. But then he sees another vision, the Mare of a mighty man. And what is revealed here in Daniel 12:4 is he's talking about the book of the Tod zone in reference to those visions. And that's the key to understanding Daniel, because we can now explain the 2300 days, when it started, the 1260, the 1290, and the 1335.
Yeah, I'm coming up to a station break, and let me tell you real quickly, I think that what would really be helpful to you is just to fixate on the art and science of biblical interpretation. It is an art in that the more you do it, the better you get at it. It's a science in that certain rules apply, and if you mess up those rules, you end up in a quagmire, just as if you would mess up the rules of mathematics. The art and science of biblical interpretation, have written about that in various places, including Has God Spoken? You might benefit from that. I've written a lot about Daniel in that book. Be right back with more answers.
Recently, Time magazine accurately noted a number of prominent evangelical churches and leaders who have reversed their positions on homosexuality. Time concluded that change is coming to one of the last redoubts of opposition to gay marriage in America. Is modern evangelicalism on the cusp of embracing a God-ordained civil rights movement, or a grotesque error masquerading as reformation? Hath God Said? Assessing the Church's Change of Heart About Homosexuality by Joe Dallas in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go online at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank will be back right after this. Cold case detective J. Warner Wallace would never allow a divine intruder to enter his life. Yet over time, something changed, and he now sees himself as a guest in the Creator's universe. Detective Wallace is not a theist because his parents believed or because he needed to fulfill a void in his life. Rather, he says, "I believe God exists because the evidence leaves me no reasonable alternative." God's Crime Scene. A cold case detective examines the evidence for a divinely created universe, presents the cosmological, biological, mental, and moral cases for God. To receive God's Crime Scene as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-Minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. We live in an age of increasingly militant secularism and scientism, an age in which science, reinforced by its stunning successes and unprecedented benefits in our quality of life, is increasingly the arbiter of what constitutes truth. But the question is, do the facts of science really suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, the latest film by Illustra Media, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm and shows how it's a realm where biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. In Ancestors in Our Genome, The New Science of Human Evolution, molecular anthropologist Eugene E. Harris provides an accurate and accessible exposition of current scientific opinion concerning human origins. However, his assumption of common descent makes much of what he says about evidence from the human genome no better than hypothetical. Biology's Blind Spot, Two Views on Human Origins by Ann Gager in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Subscribe online today at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Max. Randy, just before the break, we're talking about the prophet Daniel. 6 centuries before the advent of Jesus Christ, Daniel was empowered by the Almighty to do what no astrologer could. With breathtaking precision, he predicted a succession of nations from Babylon to the coming of the Babe of Bethlehem, a king who, of course, would usher in a kingdom that would never be vanquished or destroyed. So here you have someone who's able to predict what is going to happen in succession of nations, and that with such minute precision that many skeptics say, look, a Jewish exile who's writing 6 centuries before Jesus Christ couldn't possibly have known what was going to happen to Jews living 4 centuries later during the tyrannical reign of a second century Greco-Syrian despot, the Old Testament Antichrist, Antiochus IV Epiphanes. So what they think is, this has to be history written after the fact. But all of the evidence, and I point this out in my book, Has God Spoken, is that Daniel was predicting in the 6th century, living during the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, what was going to happen under, again, the Old Testament Antichrist. In terms of the text that was quoted by the caller, I think that's very interesting as well, because who can forget the words of the Apostle John, very reminiscent of the words of Daniel, but just a little different. In John, you read the angel saying to John, don't seal up the words of the prophecy of this book because the time is near. Now, obviously, the angel was referencing a time that was near, not far away, because that's the words used by the angel. When you read what the angel said in the book of Daniel, he told Daniel to seal up his prophecy until the time of the end. Now, we do not suppose that the prophecy would be fulfilled there in the forefuture. Likewise, when we read that the angel told John not to seal up the words of his prophecy, we don't suppose that the prophecy would be fulfilled in the far future. So the angel in Daniel provides us with a perspective on time. The prophecy was going to be fulfilled over a progression of ages, a long period of time. Very, very different in terms of what happens in the Olivet Discourse or in what John communicates in his expanded version of the Olivet Discourse. It's going to happen with in a very short period of time. The time is near. Much more could be said, but I've written about this in some detail in 2 books. One, Has God Spoken? The other, The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Nick. He's listening in Wildwood, Missouri. Hi, Nick.
Hey, Hank. I've had a question for a long time now. And what it is basically, what are Satan's powers and how? What are his limits? Because we know that both Satan and God have powers. But we it's always been unclear to me as to how far Satan can go with his power, what he can do, such as, like, can he predict the future or change the course of, you know, events, or is that something only God can do?
Yeah, he can parody. I mean, this is what we see in the book of Revelation that I was alluding to earlier. He can parody the work of God, but he cannot do the work of God. So he can parody a resurrection from the dead. He can't raise himself from the dead. He also cannot interact in the physical world in the sense that he can slap you or he can cause you to levitate. He can, as it were, sit on your shoulder and whisper into your ear. The whisper cannot be heard with the physical ear, but it can penetrate the ear of the mind. And therefore, we're called in Scripture to put on the full armor of God. So I've said many times, if you put on the full armor of God, you're invincible in spiritual warfare. If you don't, you're a guaranteed casualty. But where's the emphasis in Scripture? The emphasis in Scripture is on the power of God to prevail and sustain in your life, not the power of Satan to pillage. And so we have to put the emphasis on the right syllable. We have to have our emphasis on God's power to protect. That's what we're told in Scripture. There's an antidote. Put on the full armor of God. That means not only knowing what the full armor of God is, as delineated in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, but also knowing what each piece of the armor represents so you can internalize the importance of what is being communicated. To that end, I wrote a book. It's called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. It's available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can find it on the web at equip.org.
Thanks, Hank. So things like Eucharistic miracles and incorruptibility and like the sighting of Fatima, things like that, how would we be able to dissect that? Would we say it's a work of Satan, or is that just imagination of people, or what do you think?
Well, you have to take it on a case-by-case basis, and you have to realize that miracles are not impossible for God. What we're talking about is miracles being impossible for Satan. Satan cannot, for example, he cannot take on physical form. God, who has creative prowess, can allow for an angelophany. He can allow for an angel take on form, but demons of their own power do not have creative power. But when we talk about miracles, we're talking about non-normative events. If they were normative events, we wouldn't call them miracles. They would be commonplace. So yes, God does miracles. Obviously, God can do anything. We can't put God in a box, but miracles are non-normative events.
Maybe I don't follow then, because so certain miracles seem to be, I mean, even the Bible talks about, you know, questioning and making sure that, you know, with false prophets and false, showing like amazing signs and things like that. So I don't follow, because God would not create a miracle or a vision just to confuse people or contradict themselves. So would that mean that Satan is behind it?
No. What I'm saying is that God does do miracles. He doesn't do miracles to confuse anyone, but the Bible is very, very clear that God is sovereign over the affairs of the world. God can cause someone to rise from the dead. But we have to test all things and hold fast to the good. So if people are making resurrection claims or claiming that people are being healed, we ought to look at what they say in light of the evidence. And there are all kinds of people today that are making wild claims about healings that simply do not comport well with the facts. I've told this story before on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but probably the most famous faith healer of our generation is Benny Hinn. I was having dinner with him one night in Southern California, and he was telling me about all the resurrections from the dead and the many different miracles. And I said to him, okay, well, Benny, just send me your best three. I can't deal with millions, but I can deal with three. So he sent me three. We examined all three, and they all ended up being bogus. So there are people who are claiming miracles, and miracles are conspicuous by their absence in their ministries. But to say that is not to say that God does not do miracles, nor is it to say that if a miracle occurs, that we have to immediately pawn that off on the work of Satan. Satan can fake things. You think about, I was talking about Nebuchadnezzar earlier. Nebuchadnezzar was a wise man. He had a dream. He wanted a proper interpretation of the dream. So he had these magicians, astrologers in his court. And so he told the astrologers, he said, look, I want you to tell me my dream and give me the interpretation. The astrologers were absolutely dumbfounded because they knew the gig was up. They said, no one can do that. He said, well, if you don't do that, I'm going to kill you because I know that you've purposed to deceive me. Well, of course, in the story, Daniel comes to the rescue. Daniel says, look, I don't have the power to do that, but God has that power, and I will inquire of God. And God revealed to Daniel both the dream and the interpretation of the dream, and through that, not only saved the false prophets, but was able to use that in a very powerful, predictive fashion with respect to laying out what was going to happen with respect to the succession of nations that I talked about earlier on the broadcast. So, yeah, only God has the power to know what is going to happen in the future. Satan can guess very well. He's an accumulation of knowledge. So we should never underestimate his power, but he is, after all, a lion on a leash, the length of which is determined by our Lord.
So, like in Exodus, when we have the discussion between Moses and Pharaoh, and we see Satan was able to basically imitate the miracles that Moses did, and it says basically that gods were greater, God's miracles were greater. I don't remember the exact words, but I think you get the idea. I understand that you're saying that Satan can imitate or mimic.
No, I'm saying he can parody. He can't imitate. In other words, he can't do what God can do. He can parody, but he cannot imitate. And there's a substantial distinction between the two.
So when Jesus was tempted in the desert and was, by the devil, and the devil said, I'll give you all these things, is that basically the devil just saying those things and not really being able to follow through? Or did the devil really have the power to be able to hand the whole world to Jesus if he wanted to?
Well, the devil is the prince of the power of the air. I mean, we're not saying that the devil cannot do a whole lot, but the devil cannot do everything he says he can do. He is a liar. He is the prince. He is the father of all lies. So he uses deception. Works very, very well with gullible human beings, but does not work well with the Prince of Life. Got to leave it at that, but I've addressed all of these questions in substantial detail in the book that I referred to earlier. It's called The Covering God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. It is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. As I mentioned, you can find it on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000. And the letters, Sierra. I want to make a couple of comments before we go to break. I'll come back with your questions right after the break. First, you can become a member of the Christian Research Institute support team. When you do, be pleased to send you one of my books personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate. Again, equip.org/donate. Also, the Christian Research Journal, if you're not subscribing, you can do so in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, and our newsletter, free of charge. Again, subscribe on the web at equip.org. The resource of the month, I mentioned it earlier on in the broadcast, it is absolutely stunning. It's titled Living Waters, Intelligent Design in the Oceans of the Earth. It's a worthy sequel to Metamorphosis and Flight. It provides an awe-inspiring, an uplifting, a powerful apologetic tool for revealing the Creator's purpose and design, a design and purpose that pervades our planet. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers, so please don't touch that dial.
At its best, Christian growth literature guides believers to practices that foster abundant, fruitful life in Christ. At its worst, it distorts the gospel and encourages practices that actually hinder growth. Adam C. Peltzer provides principles for discerning good spiritual growth literature from bad, and applies the principles to evaluate two wildly popular books in this genre. Developing Discernment in Devotional Reading, a critical examination of Jesus' calling and 1,000 gifts in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Subscribe to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return right after the break. A dolphin's biosonar permits it to distinguish the difference between a golf ball and a ping pong ball based solely on its density. In fact, dolphins can see inside things. What's more, a dolphin can detect a BB at the bottom of a swimming pool blindfolded. To think a dolphin's echolocation system simply arose from purposeless processes rooted in blind chance is nothing short of preposterous. Learn more about how the biological wonders in Earth's underwater realm reflect the highest levels of purpose and design in Living Waters, the latest film in Illustra Media's The Design of Life series. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. Because life and truth are under attack by secularists who deem the Bible nothing more than primitive superstitions and fairy tales, Christians are called to give reasons for what and why they believe to highly educated skeptics and atheists. Wisdom, however, warns against engaging in a defense of the one true faith without adequate training and preparation. The book by J. Warner Wallace, God's Crime Scene, A Cold Case Detective Examines the Evidence for a Divinely Created Universe, will equip you to present and defend the arguments and evidence for God's existence. To receive God's Crime Scene as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Over the past year, American news has been dominated by one story after another of a black man being fatally injured in a confrontation with police. Allegations of racism have followed each case, accompanied by discussions, debates, demonstrations, and disturbances with an intensity unseen since the 1960s. What kind of healing can Christian faith bring to this national divide? Putting Race in Biblical Perspective by Jamar Tisby in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Once again, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thanks so much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Nicole. She's listening in Atlanta, Georgia's Sirius XM 131. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Hank. I've been a Christian, really devout Christian, since I was in my 20s, but recently, from what I've heard in church, I'm real confused about the book of Revelation. I was raised by my parents that not to worry, not to even study the book of Revelation, because we're going to be raptured before the Antichrist comes, before the mark of the beast comes. So my question is, as a Christian, do I have to worry about ever facing the Antichrist or being forced to take the mark of the beast through torture? Or is the rapture even real, is my question. I've just heard two different things from two different pastors, and I'm real confused.
Well, there's no biblical basis for a pre-tribulational rapture, nor is there any biblical basis for suggesting that there's going to be a great tribulation in the future likened to what happened under the Old Testament Antichrist that I mentioned earlier on in the show, Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes. This was a great tribulation, and Jesus looked at that great tribulation, and he used it as the basis for predicting that there would be another great tribulation that happened when Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed. So biblically, you have great tribulations, but beyond that, you have our Lord Jesus Christ saying, in this world, you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You have John saying already many antichrists have come. So throughout every epoch of time, there have been monstrous personalities. And there's no reason why we would not think that we're going to face that today. In terms of the mark of the beast, you're either marked by what you do in your worldview as belonging to the Lamb or belonging to the beast. And that's the way it is in every single epoch of time. Now, when people ask, am I going to go through tribulation or is there going to be a great tribulation? It's hard to imagine that they are as naive as not knowing what is going on in the world today. I was reading a newspaper article just the other day about what's going on in the Middle East. Christianity predates Islam by about 600 years, but it's about to be cleansed from the Middle East. You talk to a Coptic Christian, they know just how precarious their existence in 90% of Muslim Egypt remains. Elsewhere, it is far, far worse. 21 Coptic Christians beheaded by the Islamic State in Libya. In Syria and Iraq, where the Islamic State rules, the consequences of being Christian are horrifying. Enslavement, massacre, torture, crucifixion, exile. You ask those people, am I going through tribulation? Absolutely, they're going through tribulation. And I was just having a dinner with a Palestinian Christian who was talking about ministering in Iraq and talking about my book, The Apocalypse Code, being used there by many different pastors. And he was talking about the absolute atrocities that are taking place in that part of the world. But the missionaries keep going there. Pastors that are still there are still there. Why? Because in this world you will have tribulation, but Jesus went on to say, take heart, I've overcome the world. These are real men and women of courage who have an eternal perspective. But those who are asking, you know, is there going to be a mark of the beast? Is there going to be some trouble that I might have in this world? Yes, in this world you'll have tribulation.
Okay, and so those movies that they put out about Left Behind, where the people that are left there are the ones that have to face the, I don't know, the Antichrist or whatever, that's unscriptural.
It's abominable, quite frankly. I mean, the Left Behind series, because it's not only suggesting that two-thirds of the Jews are going to be killed in a horrific Holocaust that makes anything that happened to the Jews in the past pale by comparison. But after Jesus appears a second time, people will be lost and saved. In fact, Left Behind creator Tim LaHaye believes that there's going to be a rebuilt temple with reinstituted temple sacrifices in the millennium, and those sacrifices are efficacious, or they atone for sin, which by logical extension means that the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross did not atone for all sins. These are not the places to get your theology from. Far better to learn the art and science science of biblical interpretation and learn to read Revelation for all it's worth. Revelation is a great book. A lot of people think it's mysterious and it's just incomprehensible. It's not true. The language of Revelation is an unfolding or an apocalypse, not just in the sense of this unfolding of what is going to happen during the Great Tribulation prophesied by Jesus Christ that would take place when Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed, and that happened just as Jesus Christ prophesied. But it's an apocalypse in the sense of a linguistic matrix that finds its roots somewhere. Those roots are in the rest of the Bible. So in Revelation, you have a virtual recapitulation of biblical history. And what those living in the epicenter of a Caesar cult are being told is be faithful and courageous. You're going to suffer for a little while. Your vindication is an eternal vindication. So Revelation is a book that is well worth reading, but you have to read it in light of the rest of Scripture, as opposed to reading it with the newspaper in one hand and the Bible in the other.
Yes, I do have a study Bible, and I've always been intimidated about opening up and reading it because just so confused. But yeah, you're right. I do seem to like to read the Bible and pray about it, and it will come to me.
Well, learn the art and science of biblical interpretation. It is well worthwhile. It's, as I said earlier on, it's an art in that the more you do it, the better you get at it. It's a science in that rules apply.
Yes.
Appreciate your call.
Thank you so much, Hank.
You got it, Nicole. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Mario next. Kansas City, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Mario.
Hey, Brother Hank, how are you doing, sir?
I'm well, thank you.
I got a quick question for you. Jesus shed his blood at Calvary. Where did the blood flow to, and what was that symbolic of?
Well, the blood is symbolic of the death of Jesus Christ. Every time we partake of communion or the Lord's table or the Thanksgiving meal, the Eucharist as it is called, we remember the body and blood of Jesus Christ for the atonement of our sins. And we remember that Christ's death not only brings us the certainty that we can be realigned with God, as it were, that we can come into right relationship with Him and spend eternity with Him, but much more than that, that we can experience life now that is life to the full. I have come that they may have life, said Jesus, and that they may have life more abundantly. So, yeah, I mean, it is a meal that we partake of, not only to remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, but to feed on His graces such that we can live life not just by our own energy, but as Paul put it, by His energy that so powerfully works in us.
Okay, so a pastor was telling me that it flowed down the Kidron Valley. When it flowed from Calvary, it went down in the Kidron Valley, and that was symbolic of something other than what you just said. So I wasn't totally sure of that.
Yeah, and then it dripped into the Ark of the Covenant. On and on these theories go. I mean, it is quite fascinating how sensationalism and sophistry has captured the pulpits of our day. And we have pastors going out on quests to find the Ark of the Covenant now because the blood of Jesus Christ may be encoded there because it dripped down into the Ark of the Covenant in the Kidron Valley, and on the mythology goes. The fact of the matter is, if you read the Bible carefully, I'm thinking about Jeremiah chapter 3 now, where the prophet Jeremiah, speaking for the Lord, says, "Return, faithless people, for I am your husband. I will choose you, one from a town and two from a clan, and bring you to Zion. Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will lead you with knowledge and with understanding," not with sensationalism and sophistry. "In those days, when your numbers have increased greatly in the land, declares the Lord, men will no longer say, 'The Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Covenant.' It will never enter their minds or be remembered. It will not be missed, nor will another one be made." Why? Because Jesus fulfills the types and shadows. And when you have Jesus standing in the shadow of luminous limestone and glistening gold, a temple where sacrifices are performed by the priest over and over and over again, the blood flowing and spilling and draining and dripping. And there is the ultimate sacrificial lamb, the real temple. And when the master teacher comes, the temple no longer has value. Ichabod could be written over the temple. But people want to go back to types and shadows. What does Hebrews say about that? In no uncertain words, Hebrews says to go back to types and shadows. When the ultimate sacrificial lamb has come, is tantamount to trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. So let's not regress. Let's not long for a third and a fourth temple. Jesus is the temple. Jesus is Jerusalem. Jesus is the master teacher. And when he has come, there is no need for regressing to types and shadows. So now we have the new covenant in his blood, which is better than the blood of bulls and goats. Why? Because he is the substance that fulfills the shadow. And today, we've taken the Eucharist meal, the Thanksgiving meal, communion, the Lord's table. We've made it occasional. And instead of focusing on the main and the plain things, what we are doing is focusing on the things that titillate. But the problem is, what you win someone by is what you win them to. So if you win them to some sensationalistic theory, that's how you have to keep them. You have to keep amping up the sensationalism. Far better that Christians learn how to read their Bible so that it opens like a fragrant rose and they can smell its fragrance and indulge in its beauty. The Art and Science of Biblical Interpretation, I've done various resources for that, including a flip chart you can find on the web at equip.org. You can learn how to read the Bible for all its worth or mine it for all its wealth by reading one of my books, Has God Spoken? Many more resources available. You can find them on the web, equip.org. Thanks for listening in. Thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. We live in an age of increasingly militant secularism and scientism, an age in which science, reinforced by its stunning successes and unprecedented benefits in our quality of life, is increasingly the arbiter of what constitutes truth. But the question is, do the facts of science really suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, the latest film by Illustra Media, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm and shows how it's a realm where biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Cold case detective J. Warner Wallace would never allow a divine intruder to enter his life. Yet over time, something changed, and he now sees himself as a guest in the Creator's universe. Detective Wallace is not a theist because his parents believed or because he needed to fulfill a void in his life. Rather, he says, "I believe God exists because the evidence leaves me no reasonable alternative." God's Crime Scene, a cold case detective examines the evidence for a divinely created universe, presents the cosmological, biological, mental, and moral cases for God. To receive God's Crime Scene as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org.